Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host here, Colton Molesky, bringing you daily Timberwolves content. Make sure to check out the Locked On Wolves Fan Rig website for written content from Adam King as well as prior podcasts. Today we've got a lot to cover, so I'm going to jump right into it. We have the NBA playoffs. We've got a lot to cover there. We also have Matt Shook, the Locked On Pistons host. He was at the NFL Combine over the weekend, NBA Combine. Jeez, all over the place here. NBA Combine this weekend. He actually got a great clip. He did an interview with various players. A couple I'll be saving and stashing for later episodes of the Prospect Show that we do on Mondays. Wednesdays. Jeez, folks, I'm too tired to be doing this, but you know what? I'm gonna pull through. Don't worry about it. But he also talks with Troy Brown, who is on the latest edition of Prospect Wednesdays, where I take a look at the NBA talent coming in via the draft and the players that I think will be the best fits for the Timberwolves there at the 20th pick and who they might pick. So Troy Brown was the last player we talked about on that weekly segment, and so he got a great interview with him, and I wanted to put that on the podcast just so you can hear it from Troy Brown, hear about some of the stuff happening with him in the offseason, how he's preparing, some of the stuff he thinks he brings to the table, some of his strengths that he thinks he brings to the NBA and to NBA teams looking at him. So I thought that'd be a fun interview, so we're going to put that in the end of the podcast, wrap up the podcast that way. First, I did want to get to the NBA action though, because there just is too much playoff action, and we'll do interviews throughout the weekend and be talking to people to really get in-depth breakdown content of the playoff action in the NBA. But I wanted to talk, there was a couple things I wanted to talk about. It's mostly Warriors, but I did want to bring to your attention the 116-86 victory for the Cleveland Cavaliers over the Boston Celtics. That was game 3. Of course, it was the first game that the Cavs have played at home against the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals. It was to kick off the two-game stint in Cleveland. The Cavaliers came out with a big victory. You had the 27 points from LeBron James. The whole team played really well though. This was the first game in quite some time that you really see all the shooters really come around LeBron and play with a conviction around LeBron to actually win the game. You didn't see a huge game by any one player, but you saw a lot of great role players around the 27 and 12 assist performance from LeBron. You had Kevin Love with 13 points, 14 rebounds. You had Tristan Thompson, he had 10 points, 7 boards. You had J.R. Smith with 11 points. You had George Hill, he had 13 points. This is his first solid game since probably early in the Pacers series. You had 8 from Larry Nance off the bench, Kyle Korver off the bench with 14, Jeff Green with 6, Jordan Clarkson with 9. Just a bunch of players pitching in to get the victory. The biggest stat from this game, 17 to 34 shooting from three-point range for the Cavaliers, 50%. That's by far the best three-point percentage they've had against the Celtics in 3 games. On the flip side, you had the Celtics shooting 27%, only 6 of 22 from downtown. Yeah, it had Terry Rozier go cold from downtown. Jason Tatum only took 1 attempt from three-point range. And you saw their offense get a little bit of a funk. It looked like the couple days extra of rest actually maybe put them out of sorts. They were in a rhythm, and it looked like they came out a little disjointed. Cleveland in that first quarter, 32-17, never really looked back after that. They had the lead the entire way after that first quarter. And like I said, Boston Celtics, I still think that they could. I'm not going away from my prediction of 5 games even. I'm not going away from my prediction that I made last week that the Celtics were going to win. I like this roster better. And as much as I respect LeBron James and what he does for the Cavaliers and what kind of player he is, just any stats you look at, especially playoff stats on this Cavs team outside of LeBron, and it really is horrendous, the roster he has around him, and it really has shaken my faith, not in LeBron, but in the Cavaliers team as a whole. Again, I liked a lot of the moves they made at the trade deadline. I thought they were necessary moves. I liked the young talent that they brought in. And all of that young talent, for the most part, has been really a bust in these playoffs. And the shooters that they put around LeBron have been cold for a large portions of the playoffs. And you look at the guys that they have to really lean on heavily. You really need Kevin Love to have a great game. You really need guys like Kyle Korver to have a great game. They've needed Tristan Thompson to have a solid game in that game three. He needed to have some solid games against the Raptors. It's not the young guys that they traded for stepping up. It's the same cast that they had last year that they've needed to lean on yet again. And so that's what makes the faith that I had in the Cavaliers after LeBron dragged them through the Pacers series. I thought that maybe they would start to wake up and start to mold into a team of LeBron's making, but I just don't have the faith in them. I really thought that the Cavs would win game three and that this would be the game that they grab because LeBron is not going to be swept in the playoffs, but I still think the Celtics have this one. I think that you're going to see them shake off that funk in game four. Now, moving on to the Warriors. If you didn't catch the Warriors game the other night, they were able to win in huge fashion. 41-point win, 126-85 over the Rockets, headed back to Oakland. That was the first game of the series in Golden State territory. Rockets coming back with a much-needed victory in Game 2 after the decisive win from the Warriors to open up the series. And the Warriors, you heard Draymond Green after the game say that they felt challenged and they responded as such with a big game. Well, this was a massive game, and this was the first game where Curry really looked fully healthy. Curry's had some pretty solid games in the playoffs, even though he's been injured. He's had some nice performances, but this was the first game where Curry really looked fully healthy, and he looked like his old self again with the moves he was making, with his comfort level out there, with the kind of shots he was taking. It didn't look like he was shying away from anything. It didn't look like he had any sort of hitch or slow or any reluctance. It was all go the whole game, all 34 minutes that he played, and the result was 35 points, 6 rebounds, and an assist, and he shot 41% from three-point range, taking 12 threes in this one. Kevin Durant added 25, 6 assists, 6 rebounds. He shot 37% off 8 three-point attempts. Dominant performance from the Warriors, and their defense got back into the swing of things as well, holding the Rockets to 32% shooting from three-point range. You had Harden with 20. You had Clint Capella with 13, Chris Paul with 13. They did a great job containing a lot of the players around them. Trevor Ariza, PJ Tucker only had 6 points apiece. You had Eric Gordon. He only posted 11 points, and he shot 25% from three-point range. So did Chris Paul, 25% from three-point range. And you had James Harden, 33%. Really the only player who shot a really good three-point percentage was PJ Tucker, and he was the only one to shoot more than one three-pointer and actually hit the majority of his 66% shooting from three-point range for him. In this game, you just really saw the Warriors hit their stride, and the challenging part about, I think, the Warriors in this series, and I think in the finals, no matter who they play, is I don't think that they're going to... It doesn't seem like they're going to really give their maximum effort every game. It really doesn't feel like that. Didn't feel like that throughout the regular season. Even you can blame it on injuries. You can blame it on whatever you want. But this Warrior team, when they field a full roster, not every time do they give their full effort. Sometimes they just feel a little too relaxed. Sometimes they just feel like they don't need to. They feel like they almost think they don't need to get up for these games. And the flip side of it is because when they do decide to get up for it, oh my goodness, there's no stopping them. There's no holding them back. They had control of this game for the majority of the game. Only 3 lead changes in this one. They outscored the Rockets at the final buzzer of every one of the quarters. And man, they were hitting everything. They did a great job playing defense. The switching was back. They did a good job adjusting to the changed Rockets playbook. The Rockets in game two played a little less isolation, and you saw them adjust to it in game three really nicely, and you saw them really do a great job in the turnover battle as well. They only had 8 turnovers in this one, according to NBA.com, compared to the 19 turnovers that the Rockets had. And then, of course, that will kill you later on in games, even though the Rockets were kind of hanging around early in this one a little bit. You can't turn the ball over that many times and expect to beat a team, especially a team as good as the Warriors. And so you saw a lot of things happen. You saw the Warriors, the defense, make the adjustment. You saw a lot of their players do a good job hitting great ball movement and ball sharing yet again, like the work you expect from the Warriors. And you saw Curry kind of dive back into full form again for the first time since he returned from that injury. So this is not good if you're a Rockets fan to see the Warriors hitting their stride. So that's kind of the NBA playoff update. And now, before we get to our Troy Brown segment, thank you to Matt Shook for the interview that he did at the NBA Combine. But first, we're going to have some sponsors. Matt Shook of the Locked On Pistons was able to interview Troy Brown from Oregon, the freshman out of Oregon. One of the prospects last week that I talked about on the Wednesday segment of looking forward to the NBA draft and who the Timberwolves might take, who would be a good fit for the Timberwolves. That's on Wednesday Prospects, the show that is getting you prepared for the NBA draft. Talked about Troy Brown last week, and over the weekend, Matt was able to talk to him at the Combine and had a nice interview with Troy Brown. So we're going, again, thank you so much to Matt for that interview and getting us that content. So here you go. Here is the interview with Troy Brown.
Good, how about you? Good. You know, early in your career, what kind of things out of the jump do you think you're going to bring to an NBA team?
I would definitely say versatility. That's one of my biggest things, just being able to do everything on the court. I understand coming in as a rookie, you know, you're not going to get the great minutes and stuff like that, but I feel like I'll be really productive and efficient with the minutes I do get, and I feel like I'll have an impact early on. So,
over the course of your career, what are the pros you've tried to model your game after and take things from?
Well, I definitely watch Penny Hardaway a lot. Ben Simmons is a really big guard that, you know, triple-doubles type of player. That's how I feel like I am. Even role players like Andre Iguodala, Sean Livingston, you know, just big guards. Even Jason Tatum, even though he plays the wing a little more, he still has a great mid-range game and post-game. So,
have you done any meetings yet? And if so, have you met with the Magic?
Yes, I have. Actually, I didn't. I'm supposed to schedule one with them tomorrow. So yeah, but...
All right, best of luck.
Thank you, appreciate it.
What's a common misconception about your game?
For me, I would just say that I can't shoot. That's one thing. I never felt like I couldn't shoot before, and I still don't feel that way now. I feel very confident in my jump shot. Right now, it's just getting adjusted to the new three-point line, you know, the NBA line, and once I get that locked down, I feel like I'll be really good.
What would you say your strongest suit is?
I would just say being able to rebound at my size. I feel like being able to push it and not having to kick it up to a guard and being able to create fast breaks for my teammates and stuff like that and get guys open really helps a lot.
And then through this entire process, what would you say is the most surprising thing that's struck you so far?
Most surprising thing? I would just say the interviews, I guess. I felt like I did really good on them, but some of the questions that they asked, and, you know, just different interviews from different teams and stuff. But yeah.
Anything crazy stick out to you?
No. I did a virtual reality. Somebody had a virtual reality, and you played out of the pick and roll and stuff like that. It was really different, but it was good. I liked it. So, yeah.
Just speaking of Ben Simmons, were you able to kind of take a look at what the 76ers were able to accomplish last year?
Yeah, they did a really good job, especially with the young pieces they had. And I know they've been fighting injuries throughout the whole year and stuff, but I feel like they did a really good job, and next year they'll be really good. So,
could you give maybe like a step-by-step or even just a day-by-day inside look at what this process is like for you guys at the Combine?
Well, you know, we start off, we did a lot of medical. We did about roughly like 3 hours of medical stuff, just making sure you fill out a questionnaire and stuff, and they just go through it with you. Then the next day you do a lot of interviews and stuff like that. I went to the draft lottery. That was fun. Got to be around a lot of great guys and stuff. Next day, did some more interviews. Then I had medical testing. Did about like 4 hours of that, just like, you know, MRIs, I did a treadmill test, stuff like that, and then just more interviews, and now I'm here doing testing, and this will kind of finish out my week, and then, so yeah.
Have you been able to interact with any of the NBA legends who have been around at the combine at all?
A couple, not very many, you know, unless they like worked for the coaching staff or something like that, so yeah.
Have you been able to spend any time in Los Angeles in the recent years, and so how dope would it be to be able to come out of college and go
Well, I did a lot of training out in Los Angeles, just a lot of stuff, even like just in California in general, the P3 stuff, being out there, did a lot of stuff with Adidas in high school out there, Nike, Skills Academy, you know, just there's a lot of stuff out there, you know, a lot of opportunities, and it would definitely be dope to go play in LA, so, yeah.
You ever talk to Dylan about this? The experience coming in?
Yeah. Yeah, we talk a little bit, not too much, you know, but we just kind of, he's just somebody I can relate to, and he kind of understands the past and what it takes to get to the NBA, you know, so he's a great guy and always gives me words of wisdom whenever I talk to him.
With Evan Tyler in the NBA, is that like just pretty much your goal is just to get where they're getting?
Oh, can you say, can you repeat
that? Just getting to the NBA, like that goal, like just being a rotational player, or are you trying to strive for more?
Of course I want to be the best I can. I want to be the best player, you know, but, you know, like I said, coming in as a rookie, you know, you have to be realistic with yourself and know what teams you're coming and playing with and your role on the team. And I feel like the more you perfect your role, the more minutes you'll have. So by doing that, I feel like I can kind of climb up the board and become a starter. So
when I saw you on the EYBL, you're always a point guard early in your career, and you made the move to the wing. How have you liked that transition? What's that been like for you?
Well, it wasn't really an option. It was more so just because I grew just a lot of size and stuff like that and playing with a lot of smaller guards. It hasn't been a problem for me, ultimately. I feel like because of my versatility on the court, I can do a lot of different things. It's just playing with the ball in my hands, I feel a lot more comfortable making plays for my teammates and making the right plays and playing the right way.
So. There's a lot of big guards now, yeah, so I would say big guard, that's a trend. So did Altman make that decision? Was that a high school decision? Like, I'm just curious what went into moving you off the ball.
It was more of a college decision, you know, more of the coaching staff. They thought that was best just for me to be playing off the ball, especially when you're playing with guards like Peyton Pritchard and stuff like that, Elijah Brown. So, you know, it was one of those things where I just had to adjust, and because of my versatility, I didn't feel like it hurt me that much, and I was able to rotate into it. So.
So as a wing, do you think that you've been able to retain some of that ball handling, playmaking?
Yeah.
You said that's like a strong suit of you. You're a wing and you're on a pick and roll.
You know, as a point guard, the IQ never goes away. That's one thing. You see the game a lot differently than a lot of other players see it, and I feel like I still have it, even in my workout from playing at the point, you know, playing off ball. Just being able to do everything and be a complete basketball player is something that I really take pride in. So.
Do you want to play point guard in the pros?
I wouldn't mind it, you know. That would definitely be something that I would look forward to, but like I said, you know, there's a lot of good point guards in the league right now, and I kind of understand coming into it. What's expected of me, and just whatever the coach needs me to win, that's what I'm gonna do. So,
switch heavy defensive league right now. Do you think how many positions can you check in the league? Is that like, you know, that's gotta be one of your strengths, right? Defensive versatility outside.
Yeah, I would definitely say 1-3 right now. Later in my career, I would say 1-4, just as I get stronger and bulk up. Yeah, like you said, bulk up a little bit. But with my age right now and just my maturity and being a two-way player, I say three positions.
How many teams have you interviewed with and who are some of those teams?
13 teams, and I had Boston, Houston, Detroit, Utah, Denver, Washington, Philly. I think I already said Utah.
Did you meet the Clippers, one of those?
No, I haven't. No, Chicago.
What about the Clippers?
No, I didn't get to meet the Clippers.
Minnesota or San Antonio?
Yep, I had Minnesota. San Antonio. No, I didn't get San Antonio.
You just had a meeting with Minnesota, or you have a workout with them too? Is it planned?
As of right now, I'm not 100% sure. I'm pretty sure I do, but I'm not. Yeah.
Did the meeting with the Timberwolves?
That was the interview with Troy Brown. Thank you again to Matt of the Locked On Pistons podcast for getting us that audio from the NBA combine. Again, we'll have more audio from that. We have a couple more players that he sent interviews from over to myself and to various players around the Locked On NBA podcast network. So make sure, if you have your eye on a couple of players, just go flip through some of the podcasts around the network. We have a lot of content going out from the NBA Combine, and a big reason for that was Matt's work there. So we appreciate, again, Matt, what you've done over there. Really appreciate the clip make sure to go give Matt some love on at the Locked On podcast or at the Locked On Pistons podcast. Throw some subscriptions or something like that towards his podcast. Great work that he's doing over there. So that was Troy Brown. You got to hear a little bit of what it's like at the NBA Combine, the process that they're going through, the stuff that they're prepping, kind of the stuff that he's going through as far as interviews and workouts and things like that. A good inside look at what's going on. A good inside look at what he thinks of himself, what he thinks his role will be on whatever team drafts him. And you heard he's already done an interview with Minnesota, so he is one of the guys that the Timberwolves are looking at. And definitely, I like all the things that he's saying. If I'm looking at him as a Minnesota prospect, I like his willingness to come off the bench and be a role player. I like his willingness to play a couple different positions. And I like his, like I said before in last week's segment, I like his ceiling. I like the raw talent that he has. So some good content there from the NBA Combine. Again, thanks to Matt. And throughout the rest of the week, we'll have, of course, the Wednesday prospect statement. We'll be talking more NBA playoffs and getting you ready for more postseason action to come. Thank you very much for tuning in to the episode. I hope you enjoyed the interview that we got to tune in and listen to. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.